Surah Ghafir. It was revealed in Medina. Ghafir means the forgiver, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah is also known as Surah Al-Mu'min, meaning the believer. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hameem. Tanzeelul Kitabi Minallahil Azizil Alim. Hameem. The revelation of the book, meaning the Quran, is from Allah, the Exalted in Might, the Knowing, the Forgiver of Sin, the Acceptor of Repentance. غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول severe in punishment, owner of abundance. لا إله إلا هو, there is no deity except him. إليه المصير, to him is the destination. Abdullah ibn Masud said that the example of the Quran is similar to that of a person who started out to look for a place where he and his family could live. Here he finds some green open land and is pleased with it. Then he moves ahead and finds gardens and settling places far more green. He says, I was wondering about the greenery produced by rains that I saw first, but these are more wonderful. Then it would be said to him, the first of all the green layout is like the Quran in general, and the gardens and lodges are like Hameem from the Quran. Therefore, Abdullah ibn Masud said, as for me, when I, during the recitation of the Quran, arrive at Hameem, it is as if I am enjoying myself. Every part of the Quran is beautiful, alhamdulillah. It is reported that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, a person who recited the ayah of Kursi, Ayatul Kursi, and the first three verses, 1-3 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, until this point, Ilayhil Masir, he will remain safe, or she will remain safe on that day from everything bad and painful. This has also been reported in Tirmizi. Thabit Bunani says, I was with Mus'ab bin Zubair radiallahu anhu in a certain section of the city of Kufa. I walked into a garden to make 2 rak'ah of salah there. Before I would start my salah, I recited the verses of Hameem al-Mu'minun, the first 3 ayat. All of a sudden, he said, I saw a man in Yemeni attire astride a white mule standing. He was standing behind me. This man said to me, when you say Ghafir al-Zambi, with it, you should say Ya Ghafir al-Zambi, Ighfirli. And when you say Qabil al-Tawbi, you should say Ya Qabil al-Tawbi, Iqbal Tawbati. Ya Ghafir al-Zambi, Ighfirli means, O forgiver of sins, forgive me. Ya qabil al-tawbi iqbal tawbati means, O acceptor of repentance, accept my repentance. After that, this man said, when you say shadidul iqab, you should say, Ya shadidul iqabi la tu'aqibni. O Allah, severe in punishment, please do not punish me. And when you say dhit tawl, you should also pray, Ya dhat tawli tula alayya bi khair. O source of abundance, bestow the best upon me. Thabit Bunani says, after having heard this good counsel from him, I looked back at him and there was no one there. Looking for him, I went to the gate of the garden. I asked people there if they had seen a person in Yemeni attire passing through there. Everyone said that they had not seen anyone like that. A man of strong and dignified bearing, it is said, among the Syrians used to visit Umar radiallahu anhu. When he did not show up for a long time, Umar radiallahu anhu inquired about him. People said, Ya Amirul Mumineen, please do not ask about him. He has become a drunkard. Umar radiallahu anhu called his scribe and dictated a letter to him in which he said, from Umar son of Al-Khattab to son of so-and-so, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. After that, I praise Allah before you, other than whom there is no one worthy of worship. Huwa ghafir al-zambi. وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. He is the one who forgives sins and accepts repentance, the one who is severe in punishment, and the one who is the source of all power. There is no God but He. To Him is the ultimate return. Then he turned toward those around him and said, let us all join in to pray for him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverses his heart and accepts his repentance. Umar radiallahu anhu instructed the messenger who was to deliver his letter that he was not to hand the letter over to the person addressed, until he was sober, and that he was not to hand over the letter to anyone else other than him. So when this person received the letter, he read it repeatedly and thoughtfully, while realizing that it carried a warning of punishment against him, with also the promise of forgiveness for him. Then he started weeping. Finally, he stopped drinking and made such a firm tawbah that he never touched it again. Umar radiallahu anhu said, when he learned about this, he turned to the people and said, "In such matters, you too should do the same. When some brother falls into some slip of conduct, think of ways to bring him back to his normal and better self. Prompt him to turn to Allah, to place his trust in him, to rely on his mercy. Pray to Allah for him. Pray that he is enabled to repent and make his tawbah. And do not become an accomplice of Satan against him," meaning scolding him, infuriating him, and thereby estrange him from his religion. "Then you would be actually helping Satan," he meant. May Allah cover our sins. Ghafir al-Zambi. Ghafir literally means the one who puts a cover on sins, in a sense that nobody can see it. No one can know. Alhamdulillah. Then Allah tells us in this beautiful surah, "Ma yujadilu fi ayatillahi illa alladhina kafaru." No one disputes concerning the signs of Allah except those who disbelieve. So be not deceived by their uninhibited movement throughout the land. The Prophet, peace be upon him, heard two people quarreling about some ayah in the Quran. He became angry and he came out with his face showing signs of anger. He said, "Communities before you were ruined because they started quarreling in the matter of the Book of Allah." Reported by Muslim. Disputing, argument, jidal, means throwing taunts, passing sarcastic remarks, engineering disputes, absurd doubts, or to give the meaning of the Quran other than what it actually means. Allah says, "Ignore them. Do not be deceived by their freedom of movement on earth. Allah will take them to account." Allah says, "The people of Noah denied before them, and the disbelieving factions after them, and every nation intended a plot for their messenger to seize him, and they disputed by using falsehood to attempt to invalidate thereby the truth. So I seized them, and how terrible was my penalty. And thus has the word of your Lord come into effect upon those who disbelieved, that they are the companions of the fire. Those angels who carry the throne and those around it exalt Allah with praise of their Lord and believe in him and ask forgiveness for those who have believed, saying, 'Our Lord, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge, so forgive those who have repented and followed your way and protect them from the punishment of hellfire.'" What a beautiful dua the angels consistently make for us, the believers. "Our Lord," they say, "and admit them to gardens of perpetual residence which you have promised them. And whoever was righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their offspring, indeed it is you who is the exalted in might, the wise. And protect them from the evil consequences of their deeds. And he whom you protect from evil consequences that day, you will have given him mercy. And that is the great attainment." These are angels who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they make dua for us. In Sahih Muslim it says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, "When a Muslim prays for his brother in his absence, the angel says, 'Ameen,' and you may have something similar to it." They also make dua for family members to be raised up, that all of them will be made equal in status. In that way, the one who is higher in status will not lose anything. On the contrary, Allah says, "We will raise the one whose deeds are of lower status so that they will become equal as a favor and blessing from Allah." These dua tell us that the most sincere to the believers amongst the creation of Allah are the angels. "Inna alladhina kafaru," Allah says, "indeed those who disbelieve will be addressed. The hatred of Allah for you was even greater than your hatred of yourselves this day in hell when you were invited to faith but you disbelieved." On that day, disbelievers will hate themselves. They will say, "Our Lord, you made us lifeless twice and gave us life twice, and we have confessed our sins. So is there to an exit any way? they will be told that is because when Allah was called upon alone, you disbelieved. But if others were associated with him, you believed. So the judgment is with Allah, the Most High, the Grand. This is why the Day of Judgment is also called Yawmul Hasra, the day of intense regret. Allah says, it is He who shows you His signs and sends down to you from the sky provision, but none will remember except he who turns back in repentance. وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا مَنْ يُنِيبُ أَنَابَ يُنِيبُ. Remember, it means to turn around, to turn back. Where do we turn back though? We turn back to Allah. Which means that when we are sinning, when we are disobeying, we have turned ourselves away from Allah. And this is why Allah says in the Quran that the salah prevents people from fahsha and munkar, from immorality and evil. Because in salah, we have to stand facing Allah. We face the Kaaba, but in effect, we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is a way to turn back to Allah over and over again. And this is why salah washes away our sins. Wudu wash away our sins. To stand up for salah means a person is repentant and it should stop us from committing sins. Allah says, so invoke Allah, being sincere to Him in religion. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. We have come across this phrase before. مُخْلِص, إِخْلَاص, something that is pure, away from all kind of, purified from all impurities. So invoke Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, being sincere to Him in religion, meaning fad'u. When Allah says fad'u, make dua, call upon Him. Make dua to Allah alone, not through anyone else. So invoke being sincere to Him in religion, although the disbelievers dislike it. He is the exalted above all degrees, owner of the throne. He places the inspiration of His command upon whom He wills of His servants to warn of the day of meeting. Yawm al-Talaq. The day they come forth, nothing concerning them will be concealed from Allah. To whom belongs all sovereignty this day? To Allah, the One, the Prevailing. Al-Wahid al-Qahhar. This day every soul will be recompensed for what it earned. No injustice today. La zulm al-yawm. Inna Allaha sadiul hisab. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. And warn them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the approaching day, when hearts are at the throats, filled with distress. For the wrongdoers, there will be no devoted friend, and no intercessor who is obeyed. On that day, the day that is coming near, Yawm al-Azifa, all human beings will be gathered on a clear surface, a surface on which no sin would have been committed by anyone. At that time, a caller will be commanded to call, Limanil mulkul yawm, to whom belongs the kingdom today? The entire creation, believer or disbeliever, will respond by saying, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, to Allah alone, the One, the All-Dominant. Allah will say, I am the owner of the kingdom. Where are the tyrants? Where are the ignorant? يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows that which deceives the eyes and what the breasts conceal. How are eyes deceived? Eyes betray the trust. It means the action of a person who secretly, surreptitiously, casts a glance over something that is haram, impermissible, and then suddenly moves his eyes away so that other people do not realize, they don't notice. Wallahu yaqdi bil haqq, and Allah judges with truth, while those they invoke besides Him judge with nothing. Indeed, Allah, He is the hearing, the seeing. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate every single one according to our deeds. In this dunya, multiple times people are not appreciated for what they have done, and there are multiple times when they are not punished, because Allah is saving the best reward for akhirah and the severest of punishment for akhirah. People have huge differences of opinions in religion, between different faiths and amongst the faiths themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between them on the day of resurrection. Allah says, have they not travelled through the land and observed how was the end of those who were before them? They were greater than them in strength and in impression on the land, but Allah sees them for their sins and they had not for Allah any protector. That was because their messengers were coming to them with clear proofs, but they disbelieved. So Allah seized them. Indeed, He is the powerful and severe in punishment. When we are faced with difficulty in our religion, remember, indeed Allah, He is the hearing, the seeing. We have to be patient. We have to wait. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a judgment in our favor. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. And we did certainly send Moses with our signs and a clear authority to Pharaoh, Haman and Qarun, but they said, he is a magician and a liar. And when he brought them the truth from us, they said, kill the sons of those who have believed with him and keep their women alive. But the plan of the disbelievers is not except an error. This was a second command from Pharaoh to kill the males of the children of Israel. The first command had been as a precaution against the emergence of a man like Musa a.s. The second command was to humiliate them. But obviously they could not do that. Allah says, their plan was in error. It was impossible for them to kill their own laborers. And so Allah prevented them. And Pharaoh said, let me kill Moses and let him call upon his Lord. Indeed, I fear that he will change your religion or that he will cause corruption in the land. So he sees that people are impressed. They're overcome by this religion and the miracles that Musa alayhi salam has come with. He has to instill some fear inside of them. So he tells them something which is totally false, that he has come over to change your way of life. But Moses said, indeed, I have sought refuge in my Lord and your Lord from every arrogant one who does not believe in the day of account. Musa alayhi salam came with the truth. But propaganda normally diverts people from the truth. They put a spin on things. Oh, people are against your freedom. They don't like the way you live. They want to remove your constitution and impose their constitution upon your land. Subhanallah. Allah says, and a believing man from the family of Pharaoh who concealed his faith said. So this man came running just like a man Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Yasin. The town where three messengers had come, and he came running to help with the message and to inspire his people to believe in the truth because he was sincere. So a believing man from the family of Pharaoh. So now we see that people were affected by the message of Musa alayhi salam. So he came and he had hidden his faith before this. But when things became really serious, he came out and said, do you kill a man merely because he says, my Lord is Allah, while he has brought you clear proofs from your Lord? And if he should be lying, then upon him is the consequence of his lie. Don't listen to him, but don't kill him. He will suffer if he is lying himself, the man said. But if he should be truthful, there will strike you some of what he promises you. If he is truthful, and if you don't listen to him, be warned that there will be real trouble ahead. Indeed, Allah does not guide one who is a transgressor and a liar. So he is placing a very thoughtful question in front of them. He wants them to doubt their own selves. What if Musa alayhi salam is speaking the truth? What would happen? He continues, O my people, sovereignty is yours today. You're being dominant in the land. But who would protect us from the punishment of Allah if it came to us? Now the Egyptians had been very familiar with the religion of the Bani Israel for centuries. They knew about the religion. It is possible that there had been some intermarriages and some of the beliefs of the Bani Israel, because remember they were the Muslims of that time, had kind of seeped into this society. So the ground had already been set for Musa alayhi salam to come. So this man makes them question and say, but who would protect us from the punishment of Allah if it came to us? Pharaoh said, I do not show you except what I see, and I do not guide you except to the way of right conduct. The Pharaoh shows false sincerity, and he says, this is only for your good. I am giving you sincere advice, whereas it was for himself and his power. And he who believed, Allah says, said, O my people, indeed I fear for you a fate like the day of the companies. meaning the days on which Allah sent punishment upon those who rejected prophets in the former times. They were aware of those stories. And he mentioned them, like the custom of the people of Noah, and of Ad, and Thamud, and those after them. And Allah wants no injustice for his servants. And O my people, he said, indeed I fear for you the day of calling, Yawm al-Tanad. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the day of Qiyamah comes, an announcer from Allah will claim, let the adversaries, the enemies of Allah stand. It would mean people who reject taqdeer or predestination. And then the people of Jannah will call out to the people of Jahannam. And the people of Jahannam will call out to the people of Jannah. And the people of Al-A'raf, the heights, the area in between will call out to both, all saying things about themselves. And at that time, names will be announced, names of the lucky and the unlucky, along with their parentage. It will be like an announcement of results indicating that such and such person is named fortunate and successful. So there will be all kinds of calling. The criminals will cry out in terror. The people will call to each other. The angels will call out the results of each person's judgment. So this sincere man reminds them, the day you will turn your backs fleeing, there is not for you from Allah any protector. And whoever Allah leaves astray, there is not for him any guide. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلُ And Joseph had already come to you before. Remember, Egypt was ruled by Yusuf a.s. many centuries ago. They knew of him and his history and his story. So he reminded them, and Joseph had already come to you before with clear proofs, but you remained in doubt of that which he brought to you, until when he died you said, never will Allah send a messenger after him. Thus does Allah leave astray he who is a transgressor and a skeptic. Those who dispute concerning the signs of Allah without an authority having come to them, great is hatred of them in the sight of Allah and in the sight of those who have believed. Thus does Allah seal over every heart belonging to an arrogant tyrant. And that is what happened to Fir'aun. Allah says, and Pharaoh said, O Haman, construct for me a tower that I may reach the ways into heaven, so that I may look at the deity of Moses. But indeed I think he is a liar. No one reached the heights of insolence like Fir'aun did. Allah says, and thus was made attractive to Pharaoh the evil of his deed, and he was averted from the right way. Imagine, he said, come, let's build a staircase, let's build some stairs, let me look up and check this out. Let me check out this so-called God that Musa is speaking about. Subhanallah. Allah says, and the plan of Pharaoh was not except in ruin. And he who believed said, O my people, follow me. I will guide you to the way of right conduct. O my people, this worldly life is only temporary enjoyment, and indeed the hereafter, that is a home of permanent settlement. Whoever does an evil deed will not be recompensed except by the like thereof. But whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer, those will enter paradise, being given provision therein without account. And O my people, how is it that I invite you to salvation while you invite me to the fire? You invite me to disbelieve in Allah and associate with him that of which I have no knowledge. And I invite you to the exalted in might, the perpetual forgiver. Assuredly, that to which you invite me has no response to a supplication in this world or in the hereafter. And indeed, our return is to Allah. And indeed, the transgressors will be companions of the fire. And you will remember what I now say to you. And I entrust my affair to Allah. Indeed, Allah is seeing of his servants. So Allah protected him from the evils they plotted. And the people of Pharaoh were enveloped by the worst of punishment. They were not harmed. Remember, the man in Surat Yasin was killed by his own people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this person. For the one who was killed, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had him enter Jannah as a martyr. This person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him and elevated him. Remember, the one who stands up for truth and justice is only waiting for one of two things, two good things, either martyrdom or victory from Allah. The Fir'aun, though, and his followers were afflicted with the worst of punishment. Allah says, "An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiya." The fire, they are exposed to it morning and evening. Allah says this is happening right now. Yu'raduna is in the present tense, meaning from the time of their death until the day of resurrection, they will be driven into the fire. They are presented, they are exposed to the fire. This ayah is proof that there is punishment in the grave. Aisha radiallahu anha said that a Jewish woman used to serve her. And whenever Aisha did her a favor, the Jewish woman would say, "May Allah save you from the torment of the grave." Then one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out at midday, wrapped in his robe, with his eyes reddening, calling at the top of his voice, "The grave is like patches of dark night. O people, if you knew what I know, you would weep much and laugh little. O people, seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the grave, for the torment of the grave is real." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us, "When one of you dies, he is shown his place in paradise or hell, morning and evening. If he is one of the people of paradise, then he is one of the people of paradise. And if he is one of the people of hell, then he is one of the people of hell. It will be said to him, 'This is your place until Allah resurrects you to go to it on the day of resurrection.'" This was also reported in the two Sahihs. The Prophet, peace be upon him, informed us about some means which will rescue us from the punishment in the grave. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Ribat," meaning guarding the front lines of the Muslim army, "for one day is better in reward than fasting for a full month and praying during its nights. And the one who dies while in that position will have the reward of the deeds he was going to continue until the day of resurrections. And he will be saved from the punishment of the grave." Sahih Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "There is a chapter in the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk, that has 30 verses. It will intercede for the one who continuously recites it until he is forgiven." An-Nisa'i and Ibn Majah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also said, "The one who dies as a result of a stomach ailment will not be punished in his grave." He, peace be upon him, also said, "Allah will protect from the trials of the grave any Muslim who dies on a Friday, day or night." Musnad Ahmad. We also need to know what causes punishment in the grave. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told us about two men whom he saw being punished in their graves. One of them used to walk around spreading malicious gossip among people, and the other failed to take precautions to avoid getting urine on himself. So the latter failed to purify himself, and the former did something that creates enmity among people, even if what he says is true. In Sahih Bukhari, a person who told a lie that spread far and wide was punished was mentioned. A man who read Quran, then slept at night and did not act upon it by day was punished. Adulterers and adulteresses are punished. The one who consumes riba is punished in Al-Barzakh, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, testified. According to the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the heads of some people will be crushed with a rock because they found it too heavy to get up and pray. People who withheld their zakah, people who did zina, people who caused fitna with their words and speech. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also mentioned the one who stole a cloak from the spoils of war will be wrapped in a cloak of fire in the grave. The punishment of the grave is for sins of the heart, the eye, the ear, the mouth, the tongue, the stomach, the private parts, the hand, the foot, and the entire body. So what should we do? In general, we need to refrain from whatever causes punishment in the grave the best possible way. We should sit for a while before going to bed and hold ourselves accountable for what we gained during the day and what we lost, and then renew our sincere repentance to Allah and sleep after having repented. And when we wake up, be determined not to commit the same sins again. Recite Surah Al-Mulk before going to bed, and also make dua. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to make certain duas after tashahud. after saying Atayyatu and Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin in the last rakah before praying salam. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would frequently recite this dua. And this reference is from Bukhari and Muslim. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabil qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil masih ad-dajjal. And I seek refuge in you from the trial of the Messiah, the false Messiah, Dajjal. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil mahya wal mamat. And I seek refuge in you from the fitna, the trial of life and the trial of death. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thimi, ma'thami wal-maghrim. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from sin and from debt. So Allah reminds us that the people of the Pharaoh, they're exposed to the fire. They are exposed to it morning and evening. And the day the hour appears, it will be said, make the people of Pharaoh enter the severest punishment, and mention when they will argue within the fire, and the weak will say to those who had been arrogant, indeed, we were only your followers, so will you relieve us of a share of the fire? They simply followed the Pharaoh and the leaders. Those who had been arrogant will say, indeed, all of us are in it. Indeed, Allah has judged between the servants. And those in the fire will say to the keepers of hell, supplicate to your Lord to lighten for us a day from the punishment, just one day. Relieve us just one day. Will Allah relieve just one day? They will say, did there not come to you your messengers with clear proofs? They will say, yes. They will reply, then supplicate yourselves. But the supplication of the disbelievers is not except in error. The Rahman, the Rahim. On that day, he will not give them even the relief of one day, because Allah's judgment had come to pass and he had given them ample time. Allah promises in ayah number 51, he says, indeed, we will support our messengers and those who believe during the life of this world. And on the day when the witnesses will stand, the day their excuse will not benefit the wrongdoers, and they will have the curse and they will have the worst home. And we had certainly given Moses guidance, and we caused the children of Israel to inherit the scripture as guidance and a reminder for those of understanding. So be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surely the promise of Allah is truth. And ask forgiveness for your sin and exalt Allah with the praise of your Lord in the evening and in the morning. Since all prophets were protected by Allah from falling into sin, what is intended here is fault or error. The Prophet ﷺ used to exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the evening and in the morning. These are the du'as of the morning and evening. And at the same time, the people who are disbelievers, they are punished morning and evening, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the people of Fir'aun and Pharaoh himself. So morning and evening du'as are crucial to us. There is a dua in which the Prophet, peace be upon him, would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all the trials, every morning and every evening. In the morning he would say, Asbahana wa asbahal mulku lillahi walhamdulillahi. The morning has come upon the kingdom of Allah. And he would say, O Allah, I seek refuge from cowardice, miserliness, and reaching the age of second childhood, from the trials of this world, and the punishment of the grave, from Sahih Bukhari. And in the evening he would say, Amsayna wa amsal mulku lillahi. We have come upon the evening, and so has the kingdom of Allah. And he would say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from cowardice, stinginess, reaching the age of second childhood, senility, and from the trials of this world, and the punishment of the grave. Next Allah says, Inna allatheena yujadiluna fi ayatillahi bighayri sultan. Indeed, those who dispute concerning the signs, the ayat of Allah, without having any authority come to them, there is not within their chests except pride, the extent of which they cannot reach. It is so deep, Allah says, that pride is so deep and so all-encompassing that they simply cannot determine it. So seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, it is He who is the hearing, the seeing. We are supposed to seek refuge in Allah from arrogance. Fasta'ith billah. Seek refuge in Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever is humble, God exalts him, and whoever is haughty, God humiliates him." The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "God has ordered me that you must be humble, and that no one must boast to another. Shall I inform you of one whom hellfire will not touch? Hellfire will not touch one who is near to God, and amiable with people, and mild, and easy to get on with. God exalts one who is humble, that one sees himself as small, but he is truly great in the sight of people. O God, make me see myself as small." A companion saw Umar radiallahu anhu carrying water in a pitcher on his shoulder and asked him, "What are you doing, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen?" At that time, Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa of all of the Muslims. Umar radiallahu anhu is one of the foremost in nearness to Allah. He said, "Some envoys have come from other countries. I have felt some conceit," meaning excessively high opinion of himself. He said, "I felt that in my heart and wanted to suppress it." He used to carry flour on his back. Once Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu offended Bilal Habashi radiallahu anhu, and in order that Bilal might forgive him, Abu Dharr put his head on the ground and said, "If the blessed feet of Bilal do not tread on this sinful head, it will not rise from the ground." Subhanallah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, himself was one of the most humble of people. He would stop at places where children were. He greeted them, played with them. If someone held him by the hand and wanted to lead him somewhere, he never objected. He helped his wives with housework. When people were working, he worked together with them. He mended his own shoes, his own clothes. He milked sheep, fed animals. He sat at the table with his servant. He always welcomed the poor warmly. He looked after widows and orphans. He visited the ill. He followed funerals and answered the calls of the slaves in the community. Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Humility is your best friend in life." He also said, "O Mu'mins, do not be harsh to anyone in your life and always be humble. Be soft as silk, since silk lasts long. Keep your heart humble and delicate." But what is the balance? Once Umar radiallahu anhu saw a young person walking while being hunched over. So Umar said loudly, "O young man, raise your head. True humility is in the heart and not shown through the body and face. If anyone shows his humility through his body in excess of what is contained in his heart, then he is a hypocrite." Humility is in the heart, in our facial expressions, in our dealings with people. So Umar radiallahu anhu also said, "Your personalities should demonstrate the respect of Islam. Do not show yourselves as weak and humiliated people." Remember, Allah told us in Surah Al-Furqan, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The servants of the merciful are those who walk upon the earth easily. Ibn al-Qayyim said, "There are two realities which we must fully grasp in order to have the noblest characteristic of humility. First and foremost is to come to truly know Allah's perfection, His abundant favors upon us, and how we are fully and completely dependent upon Him. Secondly, we have to come to know ourselves, where we come from, and our numerous weaknesses and shortcomings." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to help young orphan girls milk their sheep. When he became a caliph, the Khalifa, they assumed that he would not do that anymore. However, he came weekly and still helped them milk their sheep. He did that throughout his caliphate. During the caliphate of Umar radiallahu anhu, an ambassador came from the Persian king, saying that he wanted to visit the Khalifa in his palace. So the Muslim who had greeted him said, "We don't have a palace or a king." He said that we have Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. They both went looking for Umar radiallahu anhu, and they found him sleeping under a tree without any guards. Naturally, the ambassador was amazed. A man visited Umar ibn al-Abdul Aziz one day during his caliphate. While they were sitting there, a lamp went out and Umar radiallahu anhu got up to fix it. His guest then asked him, "Ya Amirul Mu'mineen," he was the Khalifa of his time. So he said, "Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, Why did you not command me or someone else to get up and fix the lamp? The noble Khalifa replied, I got up and I was Umar, and I did what I did, and I was still Umar, and I lost no nobility in doing it. The best people in the sight of Allah are the humble. This was the exercise of the Sahaba. As soon as they felt some, even a tiniest amount of arrogance within them, or some pride over anything, they would suddenly turn and seek forgiveness from Allah and do menial tasks to remind themselves of who they are in front of Allah. And in this is a lesson for us.